Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And this, Sam, is the first FPL Family live stream.
And the last.
Of the post-Harry Kane era. We sat here last week and we actually said we would be surprised if he left. If you remember, guys, we'd just come back from the Spurs versus Shakhtar game that weekend. We sat here, we were saying he scored 4 goals. It doesn't look like he's going to be on his way, but we were wrong.
There so you've is. Decided He's to off. What? Come here dressed in a buying kit?
I've decided to, dress in the buying shirt. This is way too tight for me, by the way. I'm too fat for this shirt. It's like really skin tight. But yes, I've decided to put it on because, you know, I want to wish Harry all the best.
Do you want a divorce? Is this your way of asking for divorce?
I wish Harry all the best. He had the chance to win his first trophy, by the way, of his career, and they bottled it, didn't they? They lost 3-0 to RB Leipzig.
Maybe that was the problem.
Maybe Harry Kane has bought his trophyless luck to Bayern Munich. Maybe that's the end of Bayern Munich as a team. That's it. RB Leipzig to dominate now the Bundesliga this season.
I would find it
funny.
Slightly funny if Spurs go and win something this year.
Nigel the Crab Simon is in. He's just posted, because he's a member, he can do this. He just posted the death stare emoji. The death stare emoji.
We've not had a death stare for a while, but honestly,
this is it.
I am starting to wonder whether I need to phone a lawyer.
Well, listen.
Anyone want to volunteer to take Lee's place as my husband?
Welcome to the FPL family. God, bloody, that's a bit strong, isn't it?
You're the one sitting here in a Bayern Munich kit.
Welcome, everybody, to the FPL family live stream. This is our first. First live stream proper of the new season, I would say. So we've actually had some football now. All the live streams up to now has been, you know, who should we pick and drafts and changing, all the rest of it. And even up until Fantasy Football Fest, which we'll talk about in a bit, because that was a brilliant night again. Thanks to everybody that came from the FPL family community last Friday to Fantasy Football Fest. It was a great night, and I will talk more about that in a sec. But even up until in the room at Fest, right on deadline, there was changes. The news came through. No John
is
Stones.
Is Wilco in?
Wilco is... undoubtedly, he'll be here, Sam. I haven't checked the names, but undoubtedly, Wilco's going to be here.
Just saying.
Why?
Had a nightmare, didn't he?
Did he? What did he do?
Well, started making decisions when we heard some team news.
Oh, Wilco.
And I said, don't get Foden, Wilco. Don't get Foden, Wilco. What did he do? Went outside, saw you and got Foden.
My fault, is it?
Well, right. No, he came back. I was like, where have you been? Outside, talking to Lee.
Yeah.
What have you done? I've got Foden.
Yeah.
You're going to regret that.
I was outside for a bit with Duncan Crawford. Hey, Duncan, if you're listening. Who's a Manchester United fan. And I had, I think at that stage, one or maybe two Liverpool in my team. By the time I'd finished with Duncan, he's, by the way, is a master of manipulation. I had 3 Man United players and no Liverpool by the time I'd finished talking to Duncan. I had Bruno and Rashford and Onana. But spoiler alert, I didn't actually end up with all 3 of those. I've got 2. We'll talk about our teams a bit later on and how we got on. Spoiler alert, pretty good. Pretty good. I don't want to talk about overall ranks after game week 1, but I'm bloody gonna, because we're actually doing pretty good. Overall ranks means nothing unless you've got your current overall rank, in which case we're hanging it in the bloody Louvre. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, stop the count. I mean,
no, stop now. This is the best game week 1 I've ever had.
100%.
We've still got 2 players to play. Let's just stop.
I mean, yeah.
Stop the whole season. I'm done.
The season can finish now. You've had a brilliant week.
It's never happened.
As expected, you are top of the shop again, as usual. But guys, get in the chat.
Team Lee's about last week? Sure you don't want to revisit?
I've done all right as well. Behave yourself. I've done all right.
No, well, you're not going to anymore because you've got the jinx shirt on.
I've jinxed it now. But yeah, lots and lots going on at Fest on Friday. Not least the leaked Manchester City team news with the John Stones and the Foden thing and all the rest of it. But also a bit of a very, very early heads up that maybe Gabriel might not be starting for Arsenal in the following day. Lots and lots of to-ing and fro-ing. A lot of FPL managers taking Gabriel out, putting Saliba in.
Yeah, but it was a bit difficult at Fest, wasn't it? Because the Wi-Fi weren't working and that was causing drama with people trying to make some subs last minute.
Oh, chaos.
All fun and games.
I didn't hear of any of it because you tried to text me.
I did text you.
You tried to text me the fact that, you know, Foden starts, no Stones, Gabriel, rumours he might not.
I was
oblivious.
Outside.
I was just having a nice chat with people. I was having a drink. Yeah. I got back to the table. I was like, right, deadline's gone. How are we all looking? And you were like, well, Man City team. And I was like, I was oblivious.
Meanwhile, me, Martin, yeah. Nigel the Crab,
yeah.
Jason. I think Wilco was back by then.
Yeah.
We was all sat there. Roberto, we were all sat there. I was like, I text Lee. I'd been on the phone to Max. I'd found out who we wanted to swap John Stones for in his team. Done that transfer. You came back oblivious to the whole lot.
Oh,
I text you.
I was quite...
I would be a good wife and you sit there in a Bayern Munich kit.
Well, I was... Thank you. and sorry. I was determined not to get caught up in it all in Fest. I was like, right, that is my team.
Right.
I don't care what the whatever happens and the rumours. That is my team. I was only going in with Haaland anyway. So even if I heard that Foden was going to start, I wasn't going to change it because I was pretty set on Maddison, to be honest with you. I wasn't going to change it. And I was like, that is it, I'm going to change. Had I heard the Gabriel news, would I have changed it?
You'd have probably changed him to Saliba, surely.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, in fact, yes, I probably would have, to be honest with you. But fair play to you, because all of those managers that were scrambling to change Gabriel to Saliba, you weren't scrambling. You've been Team Saliba for all summer,
to be honest.
To be fair,
whole thing annoyed me, because I was like, Saliba was a great differential, and I was like, great. Yeah. Now half the room is going to go on Saliba.
And in the end, I think the difference was only 4 points between them, but it could have been very different. Should have been very different, because Saliba was on for a haul, wasn't he? An absolute haul. And I remember thinking, because I went to the Arsenal game on Saturday, when Gabriel come on for his one-pointer, I was sitting there thinking, oh, that just blocks now the chance of me getting my George Baldock clean sheet. And I sat there and I thought, FPL is truly back. When you're sitting there worried about...
When you're in the stadium.
I'm in the stadium watching a game and I'm worried about my Sheffield United clean sheet that probably won't happen anyway and didn't, blocking my... And I was just like, this is FPL in a nutshell. I'm not enjoying the game because Gabriel's come on for a one-pointer and it's blocking my George Baldock. I was like, what is my life?
Yeah. Whereas actually, I was at home... Well, actually, that's not true. I was at my parents' house, as you've seen from Instagram, if you follow me over there.
Yes.
And I posted a picture of me, and I positioned myself in the perfect spot at my parents' house where I could watch the England Lionesses.
Congratulations to them, by the way. Yes.
Brilliant stuff
there.
Very
good.
And then I had on the other screen the Arsenal game. So the Lionesses went through, and pretty much simultaneously, Saliba fed in Saka for that worldie of a goal. And I was like, hello. What's happening here?
What an absolute troll of an assist as well. It's just like Saka scores a world in. He just so happened to have been passed it by Saliba. It's ridiculous.
First thing I did was text you about that, wasn't it?
You did. I was like, FPL is truly back because Sam's trolling me by text again. Again. Here we go again with another season of just bad, crap luck. I was just like,
just
oh,
you,
God.
Just me trolling you and then you throwing some rubbish back at me.
And do you know what? FPL's so weird, isn't it? Because when... So... Obviously, I've got Gabriel. I haven't got Saliba. So, obviously, Gabriel looks as if he's staying on the bench. In fact, when Julian Timber got the injury, which we hope is not too bad for him, although I must admit, it did look bad on his knee, but I hope it's not too bad for him. It was Tomiyasu that came in, so Gabriel didn't come on. And I'm thinking, well, there's something... He's obviously got a knock, or there's something tactically going on, so Gabriel's not coming on. So, by... You know, when Elanga was bombing down that wing, and he crossed it to Taiwo and it... How do you say this guy's name?
Anwoniwi.
Whatever. I properly gave it a little fist bump. And I was in the Arsenal end at Arsenal. So I was like, because the Saliba clean sheet had gone. I was like, FPL does this to you, doesn't it? Absolutely ridiculous.
I was annoyed about the Saliba clean sheet going until I remembered that Mr. Laurent has got the double Arsenal defence. And then I thought, that'll put me above him. It's ridiculous, isn't it? The way that your mind goes. It's like, right, who's that going to affect worse than it is me?
Absolutely crazy where your head goes when you've got certain things happening in your FPL team. It's ridiculous, you know. I'm sitting there seething that George Baldock's not coming off my bench. It's like, you ain't getting a clean sheet anyway, relax. Nigel the Crab, hello, Si, how are you, mate? Very nice to see you on Friday night, mate. Very nice to see you. And thank you, Simon, for being the only person in the room smart enough to set up his laptop. I'm betting you that Simon, his data plan on his phone has been absolutely rinsed, by the way, because he set his laptop up to his phone because the Wi-Fi at Fest, he give this feedback to Gianni, the Wi-Fi was bloody awful.
It didn't work.
It just wasn't on, was it? But Simon tethered to his phone, got the Burnley Man City game going. We watched it in what can only be described as, you know, dial-up. You know,
1G.
It was like 1G. Yeah, 1G. But to be fair to Simon, he was the only one that thought of doing that. So fair play.
But it was watchable. And notice who had the most popular table at Fest.
100%. Everyone was gathered round after the quiz, weren't they? Watching
because Nigel the Crab is a legend.
Yeah. You've got 1080p, 720p,
and then Nigel the Crab.
540p. And then Nigel the Crab.
Yeah. But our table at Fest, I've got to say this now. Shout out to our table at Fest. Because not only was it full of our absolutely amazing patrons, but it was the only table to have the live stream of the game going on. And Duncan had bought half the world's supply of chocolate and biscuits and all sorts of things. So it was the place to hang out at
Fest.
Here
we go. I've got some photos. I was so busy. I talked to so many people on Friday. It was brilliant to have conversations with all of you, everyone that showed up.
It's just loads of pictures of me.
So these are just, I'm in barely any of these because these are just all selfies you took on your phone because you were like chatting to people as well. This was just the odd selfie, right? So I don't know. Genuinely, this is just a photo done from your phone onto the screen here. But anyway, Fest was great, as it is every season.
There they are, look,
the table
of dreams.
This was the table of dreams here with Cy and the Burnley game in the background. The Jaffa cakes were absolutely on point.
Who bought you the Jaffa cakes? That wasn't Duncan.
It wasn't.
Somebody turned up with a present wrapped up of Jaffa cakes.
A lot
gave
of Jaffa
them
cakes.
To you.
You're absolutely right.
But who was it?
I can't remember. One of the West Ham fans, I think, from the Patreon followers, just bought tons and tons of Jaffa cakes because obviously they just won the Jaffa Cakes Cup. Might even have been Daniel, you know. Might have been Daniel. Either way, can't remember. There was absolutely loads, right? So. Anyway, great,
you and
great,
us having a fight.
Great, great event at Fantasy Football Fest. Your experience of it, except for the Wi-Fi, is great, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I absolutely love Fest. It's one of the events of the year that I look forward to the most because it's a really nice opportunity to, one, see the other content creators because although we, you know, we sometimes work together on streams and stuff, we don't see each other to speak to that much. So to get everybody pretty much all of the content creators were there this year, which was lovely. So to get to see the likes of the guys from Planet, well, Suge wearing James's name label anyway.
Suge is hilarious. If you're not following it, Planet FPL, what you're doing, you have to do it, right? Because the guys there, James in particular, his mind works differently with football. It's unbelievable. But Suge came up to us and he just went, everyone's just asking me, where's James?
Yeah.
So no one was like, how are you doing, Suge? He's like, where's James? Yeah. So he put a little sticker on himself. It just was like, James, Planet FPL. He's like, I'll just pretend to be James.
Yeah, and it was lovely because like Nim came all the way up from Bristol where she lives. It was lovely to see Az and Yelena again. I mean, I see Az all the time.
Oh, it was Daniel that brought the Jaffa cakes. Daniel Banks, thank you for the Jaffa cakes. Yes,
Daniel.
I thought it was.
I wasn't sure where they came from. Az and Lee then had a fight over my affections. it was a lovely evening.
Brilliant.
And it was really nice to just be able to speak to so many people. People come from all over the world. Like, obviously, Martin had flown in. People had come in from Australia.
Unreal.
I had a really lovely chat with a lady. And I can't for the life of me remember what her name was, but she'd flown in from Miami. She was a Spurs fan. So she's here for the next week. She's here for a week.
It.
So she was going to the Brentford game today, and then she's watching Spurs against Manchester United next week. So I had a lovely chat with her. It's just really nice. And some of the community, I don't see for 1 year to the next. It's like, Fest, see you at Fest. And then you kind of go again. And it is really nice. And yeah, it'll be. I suspect we might be in a different venue next year, given all the issues we had with the Wi-Fi.
It's quite warm as well, wasn't it? I mean,
it was
a warm night.
It was
but
very
still.
Hot.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was still a lovely evening. There's Andy, FPL mode. Lovely evening. So thank you very much to Mark and Gianni and Ed, who spend a lot of time and effort and put a lot into running Fest. I know it's a massive undertaking for them. So thank you to you guys for doing it because
definitely,
it is brilliant.
Definitely, yeah, really, really good. So yeah, if you haven't had the chance to come to one, it's definitely worth coming along. Thank you for the super chat from Azzy, the Smiths 1986. We missed you, mate.
We missed you, Azzy.
You'd have been very welcome at the table. Of course
there's
you would. Hello, Bonfields. Hashtag Team Lee. Let's go, Azzy. Let's go.
Azzy.
When you see Game Week 1 scores, you might think differently. How good was it to have Peter Drury? Yes.
So.
Yes.
So.
So good.
Good.
Peter Drury on comms today. Oh, my God. Change. It was a game changer. Absolute game changer, Azzy. You're right. Sorry I didn't see you at Fest. Hashtag anxiety. Yeah, so, Azzy, we know all about it, mate. And we know that when you came, I think, last season
really,
or season before,
it was a big deal
for you, mate. And we loved having you there. And no issue with you not coming this year, but we would obviously love to see you. If you want to come again, mate, love to see you. You and your lovely wife would have been very welcome on our table. Very welcome.
There's a legend that is Duncan and Will.
To be honest, we just need the numbers for eating the Jaffa cakes. I mean, there were so many cakes and biscuits left over. It was unreal.
The kids were delighted because I came home
with biscuits
and all sorts. The biscuit barrel in the kitchen is absolutely full with Jaffa cakes and digestives and rice cakes and all sorts. So,
oh, yeah.
Legends. Oh,
yeah. It was really, really good. It was really good. So if you get the chance, definitely Fantasy Football Fest, definitely one to have a look at for next time. Let's say hello to a few people in the chat, Sam. We've got Brian Springer. Hey, Brian, he says, by the way, is that the latest buying kit or last season's?
It's last year's.
Last year's, I think. Last year's.
Sees winners from the year before, look, on the arm.
Got the winners, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Brian also says, Sam, your hair looks lovely. Lovely hair, Brian says.
It's because it's going really grey, so I have to keep dyeing it blonder.
It's not. Behave yourself.
It is. I've got to go and get it done, but thank you very much, Brian.
Wilco is here.
Wilco.
Of course he is. Wilco, very nice.
Wilco, how's that phone pick going for you?
How's that what?
Foden pick.
Stop digging him out about Foden. It's game week one.
Right, no. Do you know what the reason is?
Just because
right.
Your overall rank is top 50k at
I'm
the moment.
I'm going to tell you a story about Fest.
God, here we go.
So got there and I said to Si, my phone's going to run out of battery. So I was like, don't worry, I've got a battery pack. You can charge it. So Si's charging my phone. Wilco tried to transfer Maddison out of my team. Thank God I noticed. Basically tried to sabotage my team. So he deserves every little bit of Foden grief he's going to get for the next week.
Hard to disagree. Sorry, Wilco. Yeah, if you try and sabotage Sam's team. And by the way, I've been there. And, you know, we're still together. So, but it was close. It was close.
Luckily, I caught him.
Luckily, you caught him. Yeah, Logan Heath is here. How are we doing, Logan? Finally here. Live on YouTube instead of listening to the pod. Ah, so Logan, welcome. Welcome over from the podcast to the fantasy FPL family we're called, aren't we? FPL family live stream. Very nice to see you. Delia is here, although
Delia.
I've been told
Delia.
That is not how you pronounce Delia's name. It is Delia. So Delia, very nice to see you.
Also, while Delia's here, Delia, those Bailey's brownies, incredible.
Oh my God, I enjoyed that.
They made it to the train on the way home and then they got eaten on the train.
They did not make it home, Delia. I can tell you. I can tell you.
Delicious.
Jeff is here. And I think that is Mr. Jeff Holt, who we've not seen for very many weeks and months here on the FPL Family Live Stream. So, Jeff, welcome, mate.
Welcome
and I hope you are well. I hope you are well. We've got Tony D in. We've got Gavin Doyle. We've got all the names, Sam, as you'd expect. Duncan Crawford is in, as you'd expect. A member of the channel here on FPL Family for 17 months, would you believe? 17 months. Always a pleasure, guys.
We
had a fantastic night. Thanks to Si for streaming the match. Legend, he said. Yes, well done, Si.
Thank you for providing all the snacks.
Absolutely. Snacks from Duncan.
Turns
live
up and gave me a peach iced
Si.
Tea on the door as well. Perfect. So I was doing the door on the way in. I had a peach iced tea to drink.
Absolutely perfect. Wonderful. Jason Lundy is here. Hey, Jason, how are you doing, mate? Babani is in. We've got, who else? Samar95. Hi, guys. Nice kit, Lee, but hashtag Team Sam all the way, Samar95 says. We've got FPL Shorts. Yelena is here. Hey, Yelena.
Hey,
nice
Yelena.
To see you.
Does
hope
that
you're
mean
doing
is in?
Well. Can't see him.
Could be together.
Can't see him. They might be together. Andrew Yee is in. Hey, guys. Great shirt, Lee. Yes. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you very much. Liam Healy, who I had a Zoom call with late last week. Hope your team did well, Liam, in game week one. Let us know, mate. Let us know. From what I remember, think he's probably done pretty well. So there we go. A whole host of you in this evening, guys. So listen, if you're enjoying the stream, then leave us a like. We haven't said anything about FPL yet, so I wouldn't blame you if you didn't. And if you've
only been going for just 19 minutes.
If you're enjoying the inane ramble about Fest, then yeah, leave us a like. Or, you know, if you're new to the channel, then hit that subscribe button. Let's get on, Sam, with some bloody football analysis. Let's go to the results page. And why don't we start with Friday night. If, for whatever reason, anyone on the live stream didn't go with Erling Haaland or indeed decided against captaining Erling Haaland in game week one, it only took about 6 minutes for those that did so to regret their life choices. Because, as usual, the Haaland train rolls on. So I don't want to speak too much about him because there ain't going to be that many in the chat that haven't got him. But I do want to talk about Alvarez. I do want to talk about Foden. I do want to talk about the other Manchester City attacking assets because, unfortunately for Kevin De Bruyne, it does look like he's done his hamstring again, which is a kind of a bit of a hangover from last season. Pep's come out and said, he didn't say we rushed him back, but he kind of went, you know, it's a bit of a hangover from last season. Pre-season's been a bit, yeah, perhaps they have done that. Yeah, completely. So it does look as if he's out now for a bit because hamstrings at that age don't heal that quickly, particularly if you've done them before. So who are we looking at then? Who are we looking at from a fantasy perspective to sort of fill that gap and get some more minutes?
So I know that I've just taken the real mick out of Wilco for the last couple of days.
You can't say Foden after you've just dug him out.
But he said earlier, oh, might be able to transfer him out. But the reality is, I actually don't think he can. If you've got Foden,
I think you probably keep him now.
I think you've got to keep him. Yeah. I don't necessarily think you go and transfer him in, but I think if you've got Foden, you'd keep him.
Reasonable performance from Foden. I thought they were a little bit subdued, but they were okay with it. It was actually Rodri that was the star of the show, no one's really talking about. I saw on Fantasy Football Fix that he's due a price rise. I mean, shock. But, you know, we won't be going there, will we?
No.
Or is he a 5.5 sort of Gundogan replacement? Is he going to be the one that bombs forward? And he took a couple of shots against Burnley, right? So it's not a terrible choice to bring him in, is it?
I mean, it's not a brilliant choice either.
No, it's got to be better options, isn't there?
The other thing is that at some point you probably are going to want to have three Man City when you understand a little bit more about them. And if you've ended up with Rodri in one of those spots, then you might be having a problem kind of going, oh, I've now got to get rid of Rodri and get somebody else in his place. But for me, I think Alvarez remains the standout outside of Haaland. He was the one that I was looking at. And I very nearly had, if you watch me on Sky on Friday morning, I still had Alvarez in my team at that point. And got an assist in that game, so did all right out of it. I think he, alongside Haaland, make a nice combination in that forward line. I think, you know, João Pedro, obviously, we'll talk about him a bit later when we get to the Brighton game, but he's going to be popular now because of that goal that he scored. But Alvarez, just a little bit more expensive. And if you're looking for a cheap second and third, they're looking like decent options there. I think the defence is a bit more difficult in some ways because John Stones, from what Pep's saying, not looking likely to be back for the game against Seville.
No. So he's probably going to get a price drop, isn't he? You'd expect. The way the markets are and how volatile they are usually at this time of the season, we're going
to
see, right?
He might have got away with it because a lot of the transfers happened prior to Friday night's lock-in.
Yeah.
So we might get away with it for a little bit, but he's going to be out for a little while. That does kind of leave you in a little bit of a quandary if you want to go with the defender.
Vardiol, come on. 5 million?
Yeah, but came on, and I think that's the thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's only because he got transferred in like a couple of days before. Yeah, he will be the starting centre half.
Sort of a makeshift defence that he put out on Friday evening, though. I was a bit surprised not to see him get the nod away.
Maybe.
You've got Ake as well, you've got Walker as well, so there are options there, but I think for me, Alvarez is the one I'd go to if I wanted to double up.
And Asai is saying in the chat, on a few set pieces as well, took a few corners, which I don't think that many of us were expecting from Alvarez.
No.
I have to say, I'm probably in the same camp as you. I think it probably is Alvarez, or maybe it is Foden. Rodri's an interesting one, isn't he? Because, and this is a bit anecdotal because I don't remember watching the full game, but I remember him being reasonably forward-thinking in the Community Shield. And he was pretty forward-thinking in that Burnley game. He did have a couple of shots on target. Mm. Now, I'm not rushing there because I do want to see that being a bit more consistent. But if over the next couple of weeks he continues to get forward and continues to take shots, he might just represent some value at 5.5. I mean, he'd be 6 by then, obviously, because the masses are going to flock to him. I don't know. I'm not ruling him out. I'm not bringing him in, but I'm also not ruling him out.
The one thing I will say is that he takes up a midfielder slot. And this weekend, what we've seen already is that there are so many
great options in the midfielder.
Man City, I'm kind of looking at those midfielder slots and thinking, do I really want to waste it? It might not be, maybe I'm being unfair on Rodri there, but do I really want to waste it on Rodri when for a little bit more money I could have all of these other attacking assets that have been really banging it this weekend?
Yeah. And what about from a Burnley perspective then? So let's have a look at their fixtures going forward. So the Burnley fixtures don't look great, of course. They blank next week, so you don't want to bring anybody in ahead of game week 2. But then in 3, it's Villa at home, then Spurs. Forest away is an all-right-looking fixture. But then Manu at home, I just think they're a bit of an avoid, aren't they? And I expected... Well, be careful here. Did I expect better from them against Man City?
I did.
I guess. I mean, I think they played reasonably well in the first sort of half an hour or so. But City's just quality and fitness...
Yeah,
just shone through in the end, didn't it?
I think I just expected to see a little bit more oomph from them in their first Premier League game.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe I'm being unfair, but I just thought it's your first Premier League game. It's the opening game of the Premier League weekend. It's at home against the champions in front of your fans. I just expected a little bit more fight from Burnley, and maybe I've been unfair. But I mean, you're obviously not investing for game week 2 because they don't play, but... Moving forward, I think when we see them in game week 3 against Villa, that might give us a little bit more understanding, because Villa, yes, I was very surprised about.
Well, maybe let's go there next, but we'll move swiftly on from Burnley. Before we do move on to Aston Villa, Sam, welcome to FPL family, Niall Plume. Niall Plume joins us.
Oh, we met on Friday.
Oh, did we?
Yes.
Oh, very good. No, okay.
Yeah, we did. It's lovely to meet you, Niall.
Niall, welcome to FPL family, joining the YouTube channel as a member for the first time. So, Niall, welcome, 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 welcome. Joins Nigel, and who else have we got? We've got Duncan's in there, and Cy, and all loads of different members now. So, Niall, welcome to the FPL family.
Thanks,
YouTube
for
membership.
Us.
And guys, if you want to join us here on the channel and support what Sam and I do over here on YouTube, then there is a little join button right next to the subscribe button, which I hope you've already hit, because if you haven't, why the hell not? So hit the subscribe button, and if you want to support us a little bit more than just subscribing, then hit that join button as Niall has, and you can get all your comments highlighted in the same way that Cy has and Duncan has tonight. And Niall, if you want to ask questions now, mate, you can get into the chat. You can have yours automatically highlighted. So there we go. Niall, very nice to meet you face-to-face at Fest on Friday, and welcome to FPL family. Sam, you mentioned Aston Villa a second ago. Let's go there. So Newcastle 5, Aston Villa 1. Were we all a little bit guilty of sleeping on Newcastle, because we've kind of just ignored them for most of the summer,
yeah,
because of the fixtures? Don't really think that many of their players are highly owned at all, except for Trippier, because he's a bit owned by the masses. But Alexander Isak was the real flipping deal, wasn't he, in this game? I thought he was sensational. And the way he took that second goal, okay, it's a mistake by Konsa, but the finish was a man full of confidence, and he looked cracking.
The one thing I will say is that the injury to Tyrone Mings was a killer blow.
That was key, wasn't it?
It was a killer blow.
I like Pau Torres. I think he's going to be a really good signing for them, but you clearly kind of wasn't ready.
No, he wasn't.
He's got to get used to the team and get up to match fitness and everything. And
it was a baptism of fire for
Pau
Torres.
That's the right phrase, yes.
It really was.
It was big, no doubt about it.
It was huge.
The Mings injury.
And you could see that, having just lost Buendia as well through injury pre-season.
Couple of bad ones out for Villa.
But there were also two big leaders.
Yes.
There are two big leaders on the pitch with big characters. And so to lose Buendia was one thing. To get into that match and be playing quite well up until that point. You know, they were doing fine. They were holding their own. Then they lost Mings, and it really took the wind out of their sails. And then Torres came on, and then there were mistakes with, like, the mistake from Konsa. There were mistakes going on across the pitch. The defence just didn't look quite solid. Mm. Martinez was having a few issues at the back as well.
What about our boy Diaby?
But Diaby impressed me. He did
look all right. Pretty
he
direct.
He impressed me. He was direct. He was just sitting just off Ollie Watkins. He's going to get plenty of goal involvements this season. I was really pleased with him.
And no panic for Watkins owners. I mean, listen, on another day he could have had something. I just think going away to Newcastle, it's not exactly an easy fixture game. It's a tough fixture. And I don't think you can take it. And I hear everything you're saying about Villa. None of it I disagree with. But a word for Newcastle, because they were very good. You've got to be impressed with, you know, 5-1
totally
against a good Villa side on any given day is good.
No, 100%. I mean, I think Newcastle probably would have won that game anyway, even if Mings hadn't have got injured. But I don't think it would have been 5-1, I think is the point I'm making.
Yeah.
I think they would have still won the game, but I think it would have been tighter. What we saw with Newcastle, and it's the sign of an excellent team, is that they spotted the weakness, that the wind had gone from them, that there was a weakness now at the back where Villa they'd lost their leadership and they'd lost their kind of...
Absolutely.
Their control.
Yeah.
And they exploited it to perfection. Isak was absolutely brilliant. Wilson, when he came on, was great as well. I thought Harvey Barnes was absolutely brilliant when he came on. He had a goal and an assist in there.
Good signing for Newcastle, right?
I don't even know how long he was on the pitch for at the end of the game, but he was absolutely excellent once he came on. Obviously, there was no clean sheet, but Botman picking up an assist as well.
I'm surprised you've not called out Tonali. I mean, this is his first game in the Premier League. Sorry, maybe you were getting there. But first game in the Premier League, reasonable XG in the game, which I wasn't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing in the chat, you know, people saying, you know, he was scary. He was so good. He played like Pirlo, I can see in there, which I really like from John Robert Knight. Great comment. He really pulled the strings for Newcastle. I was super impressed, given it his first game against a difficult Villa side, right?
Yeah, totally. I thought every man, actually, at Newcastle, like, I'm so impressed by what Eddie Howe has done there, because I know that people will say, well, they've got loads of money and all of this stuff, but what he did last season, when yes, he had money, but he didn't necessarily go and splash it on loads of, you know, superstars. He brought in good players and he really strengthened that team. And now every single man across that Newcastle team knows what their job is and they do it really, really well. And they're working together as a unit. And the new players that they've brought in this summer have added to what they already had. So I thought Tonali had a fantastic debut in the Premier League. I thought he was excellent. Mm. I was really impressed with Newcastle. And originally at the beginning you said, were we all sleeping on them? And I think the reality is we were, because the fixtures weren't great. And we talked, you know, quite a bit.
Probably moved on from them a bit too quickly in certain pods and stuff, right? I mean, it was a very good win. Let's refresh our memory of the fixtures. Here's the reason we're not rushing to Newcastle, because of course they've got to go to the Etihad next week. Then they've got to come, we've got to go to Newcastle. And the way we defended today, the likes of Isak and Barnes is a pretty scary prospect. Then away at Brighton, difficult game. Home to Brentford looks like a nice game. Sheffield United. So I think we all kind of went into the pre-season going, wow, look, you know, difficult looking fixtures on paper until game week 5. And then we'll have a look at them until then and then be prepared to act.
But I also think we did that, one, for the fixtures, but two, because we didn't really know who. So, like, yeah. I remember sitting on a number of pods.
And it is still quite difficult to know who, actually.
Absolutely. And I remember sitting on a number of pods going, if you do want to invest early in Newcastle to have it in place ready, then go Botman, because at 4.5 million, he's cheap, you can bench him.
He
finally
well.
Did get an assist. Yeah. So I think he could be, he can be a decent option if you're wanting to change up the way your defence is. I still don't actually know who the best attacking asset to go from Newcastle is off the back of that game, because Isak put
great.
In a really great performance, yeah. But then could we see him start Wilson next week? Could they flip-flop like they did last time? Because they are definitely better when one of them plays without the other one, both of them. Yeah. They're both better without the other. I thought Harvey Barnes has put his name in the hat for being in there as well. There were a number of performers that you kind of go, well, that might be a decent option and that one might be a decent option. The benefit that Isak and Wilson have is that they're forwards. And we're all a little bit struggling with forwards because the midfielders are all so popular and you could fill those spots 5 times over.
This is it. That's the thing about going for a Tonali or a Barnes, is it goes back to your comment about Rodri. It's like you want, there's 5 others you'd probably want. And that's not saying anything against Barnes and Tonali. That just goes to show what great options we've got in midfield. But up front, yeah, it's a bit of a dearth of options. So that's why I'm sort of would lean a bit towards Isak. Yeah. But with those fixtures,
and he's slightly cheaper than Wilson,
I still think you can afford to just wait. But I wouldn't want to put anybody off. If someone, and there will be like transfers because the markets are just stupid, right? So loads of people will flock to Isak now on the back of that. And I don't mind it because he's the sort of guy that can score in any given game. And game week 3 at home to Liverpool, geez, I mean, that'd be a decent game, but we will concede. I mean, absolutely, it's nailed on. And Isak will probably be the one to get something out of it. Mm. So, but, and again, we'll come to Liverpool in a bit. I think we can score, but you know, it's just how many we concede. Yeah. And it is just how many we concede, because, God, we could have even conceded a Hatfield today. But Newcastle, definitely, if they weren't already, should be on your watch lists. Daniel Banks is in saying, thought Gordon looked good as well. Yeah, for sure. Listen, got no FPL points. But again, another good option from Newcastle. I agree with you. I think Eddie Howe is doing a really, really good job. It's not as if they've gone out and spent 130 million on Enzo Fernandez and 110 million on Moises Caicedo, Chelsea. But Newcastle are doing a really good job without going to stupid levels like Chelsea have.
Eddie
and I'm
Howe,
very, very impressed.
I'm very, very impressed by Eddie Howe.
Anyway, game week 1, so early days. Let's hold our praise because
let's go to Liverpool next because you mentioned them.
All right, go on then. So it's a game that we've just watched, actually. So it was the Super Sunday this afternoon. Chelsea won, Liverpool won. I remember saying to anybody that I spoke to at Fest on Friday that is nailed on for a draw. I remember speaking to Harry and saying, absolutely nailed on for a draw.
What does
and
Harry
so
think?
It was. I think he agreed with me, to be fair. And I don't think either manager or either set of fans is going to be upset with that. Chelsea were the better team, in my opinion. Better team. Certainly in the last 10 minutes of the first half and then in the first 20 to 25 minutes of the second half, they were much better and controlled the game. And I was really impressed by not just the dynamic of the team, but actually the stadium as well. You could feel there was something different about Stamford Bridge. Poch.
They like Poch.
Is definitely going in there and he's changing the culture already. He's already changing attitudes, which I thought would take him time. It hasn't. He seems to be getting it right already. And they played some really nice football. Listen, Liverpool brought on a few fresh legs at the end. Could have gone either way. I think Salah had one that was ruled off for offside, rightly, but it was close. Same at the other end with Chilwell, rightly, but it was very close. God, the
FPL points, though, for both of those.
Oh, it would have been unreal, wouldn't it? Like, would have been unreal. But before we get to Liverpool, Chelsea then, because if I flick back over to the ticker, they are right at the top. And I know we've got this West Ham game away in game week two, but shouldn't hold too much fear. But look at that. 3-4. Luton and Forest at home before they go away to Bournemouth. And then against Aston Villa, who have just conceded 5 to Newcastle and haven't got Tyrone Mings. So there is a reason they are top of that ticker, Chelsea.
There were two standout performers for me today at Chelsea.
Go on.
Who stood just, not that the others didn't perform well, but two that really shone for me. Mm. One of them was Chilly, who I thought was excellent.
Chilwell was, I think if you haven't got Chilwell in FPL, you were behind the sofa today.
Particularly when Reece James goes off. And now, I know that Poch has said he's not injured, he's just tired. We took him off because he was tired.
It was a precautionary thing.
It was a precautionary thing. Yeah. But that moment was like, here we go again with him. And I think even if, you know, if you've got Reece James, then you're probably going to stick for the next couple of weeks rather than do the sideways move. But Chilly was the standout for me across the whole team. He was everywhere you would want him to be.
Set pieces, attacking threat, gets the assist for the goal.
But so unlucky not to have got more than one assist today.
Oh,
like he could
5-5. I think you just got to get him, haven't you? It looks unreal.
He could easily have got a goal and another assist today. He was really, really, really good.
Who was the other standout?
The other one was Jackson for me at the other end of the pitch.
Yeah.
I was watching him thinking, you're in all the right places. First game in the Premier League. What do you expect from a kind of cheap budget-ish forward?
Mm.
You expect somebody who's going to be at the heart of what's happening, but you don't necessarily expect them to return every time.
Mm.
Now, for me today, watching Chelsea, there was really good attacking football that was going on there, particularly from Chilwell down his side. Jackson's going to get plenty of service up there, particularly with Nkunku out for a while. I think at seven...
Do you think that detracts from his appeal a bit, though? If Nkunku was fit, yeah, I could see me going to Jackson, I think, because Nkunku's just such a creative force. But I just wonder whether they were a little bit one-dimensional today, Chelsea. And Poch will bring another dimension, I'm sure, in time. And at 7 million, it's not exactly you've got to splash the cash for him. He's a reasonably budget-enabler.
But also, look at the fixtures that they've got and the teams that they're going to play
absolutely
against.
True. Yeah, so, absolutely true.
You know, I think they're going to create plenty of chances. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for Jackson. I think he, for me, makes a lot of sense. And if you aren't already... If you've already invested in Jackson, don't be annoyed about today.
No, I think you've got to stick with him now.
I think 100%. You're ahead of the curve. There's going to be a lot of managers looking to go there now.
Yeah.
So don't kind of go, oh, right. But on the flip of that, if you don't have a Chelsea defender, get on Chilwell.
Yeah, I would say so. And the chat's going crazy for Enzo, for sure.
But
for
not
sure.
From an FPL perspective, I don't think. Not in those midfielder slots.
Probably not. Again, yeah. He's not one of your five, is he? Probably.
No.
But is
he a
class player? He was unbelievable.
Absolutely. Unbelievable. But I'm talking from an FPL perspective. Enzo,
great battle, wasn't it? Him and Mac. I loved it.
It was a great battle. Great. But I wouldn't have either of them in FPL.
Probably true. Yeah, probably true. Liverpool then. Talk to me about Liverpool. Luis Diaz making a very Mane-esque run, if I may say so. Salah with a sublime assist. I mean, the assist was so, so good. And then he gets one ruled off for a very tight offside. So it could have been a double-digit haul for Salah. He gets dragged off on 70-something minutes and he looks frustrated. I'm not reading too much into that other than the fact that, you know, top players don't want to be subbed off, of course, particularly when the game's still in the balance.
Klopp wasn't bothered by that either. Klopp was like...
No, listen,
he made some comments after the game about it. It's like, no.
I like to see it. I like to see Salah being annoyed coming off, right? Because, you know, he and at the end of the day, you know, he's 32, 30... What is he now? 31, 32? You can't... I think we might see a little bit more of that. Certainly initially this season. And now he looks ripped. He looks fit as anything, doesn't he? So I don't see it every game, but today you could definitely tell first 25-30 minutes of the second half
he was annoyed, though
our legs, because we pressed like maniacs in the first half, particularly from the front, because he played with the front sort of four, didn't he? So it's kind of Jota, Diaz, Salah and Gakpo, so it was them four, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They pressed like mad, and that's the reason Nunes didn't start, because as I've said before, he can't bloody press, or he doesn't want to, or whatever. But the four of them pressed as a team like maniacs. And the reason that was good was because they have to. Because behind them, there is no CDM, right? Liverpool didn't have we didn't play with a six today because we haven't got one. So we just were like, well, we haven't got one, so we won't play with one. And we played with two eights instead. And it was super, super easy for Chelsea to get at that Liverpool back line.
You do need a six.
We do need somebody in that six. Even if it's Stefan Bacetic, we need somebody in there, in my opinion. Now, we kind of went with the attack is the best form of defence today with the high press. I think we might see that more this season. I think we might. Because if we don't buy a six, what's he going to do? I mean, he's just going to play like that and he's just going to throw caution to the wind. Mm.
The difficult thing with Liverpool is, we've been saying all pre-season, if you want to invest in Liverpool from an attack perspective, it's Salah. And I still stand by that. And then today I watched Gakpo, and Gakpo is... I like Gakpo as a player. I owned him quite a bit last season. The problem is, if he plays where he played today, he's in totally the wrong position for FPL, because we basically got a midfielder who's in a forward slot. So we're not benefiting from having that. They're the wrong out of position. They've gone the wrong way.
Yeah.
So you don't want Gakpo if he's in that place. Then you look at the other two, the Jota and the Luis Diaz picks. Now, both of them, Diaz in particular, I thought was good today. I really like Luis Diaz.
Mm.
Really like him a lot. And Jota, I thought, was unlucky at points during the game today not to get something. And then when Darwin came on, I thought actually he was all right. He had that one opportunity which I thought was going to go in right at the death and win it for you. Thought he was okay.
Yeah,
the problem I have is that with the way that Liverpool are playing, I still don't... Like, you've got Bournemouth next.
Yeah.
A team that I think can score against you. I think we'll probably see Solanke get something against you next week. But equally...
Anyone can score against us.
They did not look solid defensively either.
No.
So you can easily go and get something against them. And it's a home game, so...
There's a few in the chat talking about, you know, is an angry Salah a good option to have in your FPL team ahead of Bournemouth at home?
Yeah, I think it is, isn't it? Home game.
Captaincy?
Well...
You've got to go against Sterling, haven't you? And it just doesn't feel worth it, does it?
I don't know. I have to give some real thought to that. But I think you want a bit of angry Salah. It'll help the rest of Liverpool when you've got somebody that's got a bit of grit and a bit of fight in them. I like that. I like to see that. But I still find it really difficult because so normally I'd go, right, Liverpool have got the easiest fixture on paper for the big clubs. How are we getting through? But the reality is, I'm looking at it going, well, I don't fancy Trent playing in that back four. Plus, I don't fancy the clean sheets.
Didn't really invert today,
so,
did he, really?
Not a lot going on there. I thought Robbo actually had a better attacking threat today than Trent did. But even then, not great. So I'm not going there. And then to invest alongside Salah, I'm basically buying into a lottery. And the problem I have with buying into the lottery is Gakpo's in a reverse out of position, don't want that. Darwin, is he going to start? Don't know.
Who do you think the front three is against Bournemouth? Salah? Jota or Diaz on the left?
I thought Diaz did enough for me.
I think it will be Diaz. And the reason I think it will be Diaz is because I think Jota might have just picked something up. Like a little ankly thing.
A bit lay on the floor. Just as I made the graphic.
And he seemed fine, but I just wonder whether Klopp might use that as a reason not to play him. We are going to have more of the ball at home, and we're going to have more of the ball because it's Bournemouth. I think you play Darwin.
Mm.
I think it'll be Salah, Darwin, and
Diaz.
I think you go with Diaz, and maybe with Gakpo behind again. And he'll play the same formation, but it might be Jota that gets benched. But listen, if you've got Jota, don't transfer him out, because he's the pressing machine. He's the one that Klopp likes the most, I think, in terms of defending from the front and that press. He's the best at it. I've said it forever. Jota is the best we've got at the press, no doubt about it.
Mm.
But I just wonder if we might just go for Nunez against Bournemouth, because we'll have more of the ball and he will get the service that he needs.
Yeah. But it's still really tough, because then you look at, okay, well, Darwin, fine, can invest there. But I don't know that he's going to get the start week upon week upon week upon week.
For sure. And if you look at the fixtures going forward... Okay, it's Bournemouth, but then it's that tricky tie against Newcastle, which already looks like a very difficult game.
You will need to be high-pressing for that.
I 100% tell you, Darwin ain't playing in that game.
No.
He will not start Darwin in that game. Villa at home?
You need a high press against them, to be fair.
Be surprised if Darwin starts. Wolves away, Darwin.
Darwin.
West Ham at home, Darwin. Mm. I think that is what we're going to see. Darwin does not press enough in the system that Klopp's got to play. And we have to press as a four. And we have to press because we're so bad defensively.
Yeah.
So they have to do their bit for the defence up front.
Yeah.
And that's why we run out of steam after 30 minutes. Because they're so busy harrowing and pressing. And it's game week one.
Yeah. And so I struggle with Liverpool. I still struggle. I struggled all of the last week. Before Kane left and I had Kane in my team, I didn't have a Liverpool asset. And I was really struggling with that as a thing. Because I was like, I want a Liverpool asset because I know that you're going to attack because it's the best form of defence. And I know you're going to score goals because you've been doing it all pre-season. But those midfielder spots felt so important. And I didn't trust the Gakpo-Darwin thing up top after the last couple of pre-season friendlies. So it's hard. And I think if you don't have Salah, I do think he's the one that you want to be looking at. But if you've not set your team up for Salah in game week one, it's going to be very, very difficult to bring him in for game week two.
Yeah, and I hear you. So Marcus is in the chat. Marcus Mitobi, I hear you. Darwin looked better at the press than Jota. I hear you, but listen, he was on for 20, 25 minutes against a knackered Chelsea. He can press. I'm not saying he doesn't ever press. I'm just saying at the beginning of a game when it's high intensity, Jota is a high intense presser and Darwin is not, right? Darwin is not. Gakpo's good at it as well. But of the three of them, it's Jota, Gakpo, Nunes in that order. And there's quite a big gap between Gakpo and Nunes, in my opinion. So there we go. Best Liverpool assets, as it says on the thumbnail. I think we're still going Mo, aren't we? I mean, if he's angry and he's fired up for a Bournemouth.
100%
Looks dangerous today. Got a great assist. Wasn't like a cheap assist like Salah. It was Saliba. It was a proper assist. Liverpool could have had a penalty as well. I don't know in what world, you know, having your hands here, if you're...
A T-Rex, that's normal.
So Jackson's hands were up here and it hits his hand and goes wide. And apparently that's normal. I just was like, I couldn't believe it, to be honest with you. But anyway, it's VAR and it won't be the first or last time that I'm upset by VAR this season. So could have been penalties for Liverpool and Mo takes them. Had one ruled out for VAR. I think he got 5 points on another day. It could be another Mo masterclass, couldn't it?
If you do want to double up for Bournemouth, though, Lewis, I think we're both agreeing that it's Luis Diaz that you'd go with ahead of that Bournemouth game.
Yeah. If you're not going to go for Mo and you desperately want a Liverpool player, I think it probably is Luis Diaz.
Yeah,
I think it probably is Luis. But don't sell Jota. If you've got Jota, don't sell him because he's the best we've got at the press. Let's move on, Sam. Let's talk about Brighton then. So plenty of Brighton assets in our FPL teams and out of drafts and in drafts and out of drafts as we went through the summer months. But it was our man, João Pedro, that we've been bigging up for a little while, stepped up with the penalty to get his goal. Solly March also popped up with one as well, which was a fantastic header. Have you seen that goal?
It was a fantastic header.
Really good header. I mean, I know Mitoma gets the assist for that, but it was a good cross. But it was an amazing header from March. The way he gets his neck muscles to sort of like head it out is incredible. And also Estupinan, an FPL favourite, over 50% owned last time I looked, also pops up
but
with an assist.
Estupinan was getting nothing, and then pops up at the death, virtually the last kicks of the ball, with an assist. And took all the bonus points.
So
absolutely
did he get three
ridiculous.
Baps? Oh, he got three baps. Look at that.
Literally at the death, he had nothing.
Unreal. So Estupinan, it feels like as long as he gets something, be it an assist or a clean sheet, he sort of feeds the underlying bonus points as well. So what did you make of the overall Brighton performance, though? Because there's a few names in there, like Adringa, who did get a little bit of love over the summer, but not a lot. Ferguson also coming back in and getting a goal, who I like as a player. I think he's really, really good. But I do want your comments on João Pedro, because not only did he take the penalty, so almost, you know, confirmed penalty taker.
Though, didn't he?
But he did half miss a sitter in that first half. Oh my God, he should have had two goals.
He should have had two goals.
So what are we saying about Brighton then?
So I think for me, I've got two. I've got Estupiñán, I've got João Pedro.
Yeah.
Pleased with both of them. I think, as you will all know, because you'll have listened to me all pre-season, I haven't been a fan of the Estupiñán pick. Not through a lack of care for his attacking returns, because we always know he can get them, but because I just don't trust Brighton defensively. And with all the comings and goings with the goalkeeper situation and him and De Zerbi going, well, they're going to play 50% each. What's that about? I'm not feeling the love about that. And that worries me because I think you want a stable goalie so the defenders know what they're doing. So the reason I went with Estupiñán was basically to cover out the effective ownership, which was going to hurt
me. Bit of FOMO, really. Yeah.
100%. And because the first three fixtures were really nice for Brighton and I thought there might be some clean sheets in there. Now, we didn't get the clean sheet, but we did get the attacking return, which brought the bonus points. So I can't say anything else about Estupiñán other than good. But João Pedro impressed me. And I know he missed the sitter, but...
But he's in the position to miss the sitter.
Exactly,
that's what encouraged me.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. We're talking about a 5.5 million
penalty
budget, penalty-taking player.
It's a gift. I've said it all summer.
Don't understand why he's not in way more FPL teams than he currently is.
Will you, 1 week in every four or five or six, be frustrated because he's on the bench? Yeah, I think so.
But I don't...
Like, Ferguson will get a start somewhere along the line.
Of course.
But
he'll come on.
Even then, he can play 10. Even then, he can play left, although they have got Matoma and they've got Odringa. He'll come on. He's 5.5 on what you want. I think he's a great pick.
But I don't really understand this as a thing. He's 5.5 million. All right. Next week, he gets benched and he comes on for 20 minutes. We've seen from this game and in pre-season that he's going to be in all the right areas, doing all the right things. And if Brighton get a penalty, he's going to take it if he's on the pitch. So if I get... 1 week where João Pedro is benched, so I get 20 minutes because he's coming on the 70th of him playing against a tired opposition.
Definitely.
I still don't see that that's a problem.
Definitely.
It's not your 12 and a half million.
Yeah.
March, he's 5.5.
Solly March, Karu Mitoma, thoughts?
I don't have either of them. Mostly because I had João Pedro and I was kind of like, well, João Pedro is a million cheaper and he frees the midfielder slots up so that I can invest in the other teams that I want to. I'm not saying I don't think that these guys are good picks because I do, but I just think that for me, the way I saw it was I can have a Brighton attacking asset for a million cheaper. Yes, there's a bit of rotation risk there, but I don't have to compromise on the midfield five that I really wanted.
Yes.
That's the way I looked at it.
Well, listen, Brighton fixtures continue to be good going forward.
Two, yeah.
We knew this, and it takes a little bit of a twist at four, but certainly game week two and three looks pretty good with Wolves and West Ham up next before then trips to, you know, actually hosting Newcastle on away to Manchester United. So four and five looks tricky, but therein lies the reason we invested in Brighton in game week one was because you've got some pretty good fixtures in game weeks two and three. So whoever you've got, you keep. And if you want to add, I would not want to talk you out of that whatsoever. Any other games you want to talk about? Let's go to the Arsenal game. Arsenal 2, Nottingham Forest 1. All of the nonsense about Saliba and Gabriel. In the end, it was about a four-point difference, wasn't it? Could have been very different. Could have been very different. Was it not for a really great run from Anthony Elanga and a really great finish from Taiwo Awoniyi? But talk to me about the Arsenal performance then. Dominant, completely dominant in the first half from what I could see. And to be fair, dominated in the second half.
Mm.
Got a little bit squeaky bum time after the goal. And to be fair to Forest, they did make a couple of substitutions that just threw caution to the wind a little bit. Mm. And I thought Arsenal might exploit that on the counter-attack, but never really did.
No.
And kind of sat back a little bit and absorbed it. And in the end, got the job done. But they made harder work of it than it needed to be.
They did. They did. I totally agree with that. I thought Saka was absolutely brilliant, as always.
Can I just stop you there for a minute?
Oh, what are you going to say? You're not going to say that Saka wasn't great.
No, he scored a fantastic goal.
Go on.
He was very wide.
Right.
From where I was sitting. Very, very wide. And he had chalk on his boots the whole time. I'm not saying I'm going to take him out, because I'm not. Because he was central to everything that was happening. But he was very wide and cutting in a lot. And
I have no issue with that.
No, I don't know really why I'm saying it. I don't have an issue with it either because he's class and the goal was unbelievable.
And he's on pens.
So, yeah, shut up, Lee. But the point, I just was looking at it. I was like, you're really wide. I would like you a bit more central, a bit more often.
Maybe.
Is all I'm saying. Yeah. But it's not putting me off him, or I'm not bloody selling him or anything, right? But
the one thing,
just a comment.
The one thing that I thought within about a minute or two of the game kicking off, and I was sat there and I was obviously multitasking watching the women at the same time, but throughout the whole game, the thing I kept thinking was, why have I not got Martinelli in my team?
Looked good, didn't he? Looked good. And I tell you what, the Arsenal faithful absolutely love him. And I can see why.
Because he's great.
Because whenever the ball gets lost on that side, whether it's him or anybody else, he gets his head down
totally.
And he recovers that ball.
Yeah,
he is
a
workhorse. And we didn't see that from a young Martinelli because he was a bit Brazilian prima donna. He's changed completely since he's been playing for Arsenal the last couple of seasons under Arteta, and he was great.
In last season I owned the pair.
Assist.
It was great.
Oh.
I owned the pair of them for a lot of last season, Saka and Martinelli together, as a lot of FPL managers did.
Yeah.
And they were so good, and they were so important in my recovery post-World Cup last year, the pair of them together. And the thing that I looked at the most, and my big decision going into Friday night at Fest when we knew that Kane was going, was, well, what am I doing here? Am I going Salah? Or am I going to go with the Arsenal and Manchester United midfield double up? So that was the big call I had to make. In the end, I plumped with Salah, but I am looking longingly at Martinelli. He's the one midfielder. I mean, there were a few that I had during pre-season that I've kind of looked at and gone, typical Bowen getting an absolute worldie. But
he's in your team for a bit, wasn't he?
He's in my team for a while. But
great goal.
But Martinelli, I'm looking at thinking, how am I getting you? Because I don't want to sacrifice any of my midfielders. I like them all. And I've got Martinelli sat there.
He's 8-5 as well. Or
he's eight. And I'm looking at him thinking, you are the one that got away. You are the one I'd like that's missing.
And I can see why you'd say that, because the Arsenal fixtures, they are second in the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker. Second only to Chelsea, who we mentioned before, that have got that amazing game week 3 and 4. But Arsenal sitting there with Palace up next, then Fulham at home, Man United at home, Everton, and then the North London derby against Spurs in 6. So the fixtures look pretty good on paper. I'm sitting there with Gabriel and with Saka. And yes, I felt a bit underinvested as well in that Forest game. I don't know what I'm going to do with Gabriel now. Like, if it transpires throughout the course of the week that Gabriel's going to drop 0.1 in value and Saliba's going to go up 0.1 in value,
will you do a swap?
Probably, yeah. Because I don't want to suffer the 0.2.
The other thing that I've just, in you saying that about making that switch, that I've just thought of, is that Man City have got another game midweek, haven't they? They're playing and they've got the Super Cup.
That's right.
So that's another. We should have mentioned that when we were talking about Man City. So with the likes of Foden and all of that, it's going to be a really hard week for us FPL managers, because a lot of us will want to hold and watch and not panic, but you are going to have to watch the markets, because if you've not kept money in the bank and we get wind that Gabriel's not going to start again, or there's an injury to somebody during the Super Cup, then we are going to have to be aware and maybe make some moves.
Totally. Yeah, totally. So I think for now, I'm just keeping an eye, as a Gabriel owner, and I'm sure there'll be many Gabriel owners out there, just keeping my eyes on the money markets and how things are going. But if he is going to go down and Saliba's going to go up, I probably will make the move. Not because I think it's a good move and I think it is a waste of a transfer, but it'll save me the 0.2 in team value, which at this stage of the season is important. For me, that's the way I play the game.
Just because you want your team to be identical to mine.
In fact, that is the only thing different in our teams, isn't it? So, yeah, we will be exactly the same if that were to happen. Where else do you want to go? Anything else to discuss?
We haven't talked about Spurs.
Oh, yeah, go on then. Brentford 2, Spurs 2. A thoroughly entertaining game. As I get the feeling most Spurs games are going to be this season, they're going to be bad for your heart.
No, it was
and
great.
Thoroughly entertaining.
I loved it. I loved everything about it. I loved the fact that there was drama at the beginning because the water had gone off and they didn't have to play the game.
Yeah.
I loved all that nonsense. Unreal. I loved the fact that the Spurs players, led by Captain Sonny, went over to the Spurs fans to do their huddle. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And one of the things I was really concerned about today was, would there be a feeling of sadness? Not sadness. That's not the right word. Would there be a feeling of kind
of... Bit of a downer.
Just like something wasn't quite...
Yeah.
You know. But there wasn't.
No.
There really wasn't. It was like Maddison straight out there wearing the number 10. I loved that. When I saw Madders...
Picked up Kane's shirt, isn't he?
I tell you what. When I saw Madders walk out wearing the 10, you have got balls of steel and I am here for it, James Maddison.
Can I say something slightly controversial, potentially?
What?
If Madders hadn't just arrived at Spurs and he'd been there a year or so, I think he'd be captain, not Sonny.
I had a lot of comments. So on Friday evening at Fest, not to talk about Fest again, I had a lot of people come in and talk to me about the captaincy at Spurs. And I said, I don't want him to give it to Son. And the reason I didn't want him to give it to Son was because I watch, obviously, a lot of Spurs.
No, do you?
A lot of Spurs. And when we're not performing well, Sonny can be a little bit of a shrinking violet, and he can disappear into himself, and he can.
He's an introverted guy, right?
Because he's a great. I think he's one of those really good leaders for going up to somebody when they're upset or need an arm around and a chat.
Yeah.
That's what Sun is really good at. Is he good at leading the whole team on a pitch in a big environment? That's to be seen.
But Mattis does
that. But what he's done with picking the two vice captains, I think, because they were the two that I'd have picked. When people were talking to me, the three I had on my list were Bentancur, but he's injured, James Maddison, and Romero.
Yeah.
Because they are the leaders.
But you can't have Maddison as the standout captain because he just got there, and you can't have Romero because he's an absolute nutter. And it sends out the wrong option. He is. It sends out the wrong message. So
Bentancur's injured.
I think he's gone with Son because of tenure more than anything. I thought the announcement was interesting, actually, because I don't disagree. I think Son probably was...
He's the obvious pick.
The obvious and right choice, I think, right? I think he's probably the right choice. But the way that Spurs announced it was like, right, he's a captain, but, you know, don't worry, Spurs fans, because Maddison and Romero are also there to help and support, and it's more of a, you know, team captaincy.
But what happened on the pitch today was that James Maddison was the leader.
He led, without a doubt, without a doubt. And do you know what? That the picking of the number 10, picking up Harry's shirt, not being funny, that takes some balls.
I loved it.
That takes balls to go in there and say, I know Harry's a legend, but now that he's gone, I'm going to have this shirt and I'm going to lead this team.
He's the talisman. He seemed to be the talisman now.
Everything went for him today.
And honestly, he walked out on that pitch today and I was like, something's changed in you.
Yeah.
Even since last Sunday. Like, he walked out last Sunday and he was great. But today, walking onto that pitch at Brentford, he walked out, his shoulders were up, his head was held high, he was wearing the number 10 and he bossed it.
Mm.
And he got the two assists today. He could have had more than that. He put one ball through to Richarlison, which if they'd have played together a little bit more in pre-season and Richarlison had read it better and put his foot on it and put it away with his first touch rather than trying to stop it, would have been a third. There was another moment where he put another ball in also for Richarlison where he could have finished it. Once those two have got a connection proper, after another week of training together, that will be a nice partnership. And Maddison, as I said to you last weekend, he needs a number 9 in front of him. He doesn't want to be in the number 9 position. Yeah. He's a 10. He needs a 9. Kane was not that. Richarlison is that. And it unleashed James Maddison because he had all that space today. Maddison's the pick.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you about Richarlison in just a second. Before I do, another super chat from Kens. Hey, Kens. Very nice to see you, mate. Thank you for the super chat. Evening, guys, he says. Evening, Kens. Hope you're okay. Bit late as he's been at mini golf. No problem,
Ooh, nice.
Kens. No problem, mate. Hope you did all right in the mini golf. Hope you've had a smashing week. 72 points, Kens.
Well done.
72.
Very
nice. With Pickford, he says, lol emoji. Oh. Gabriel was chaos. Yes, it was, mate. You should have been at Fest when that was all kicking off. It was unreal, mate. It was unreal. But very nice to see you, Kens. Welcome back to FPL family for another season. Richarlison. Richarlison. Listen, missed a little bit of the end of pre-season training. Not Harry Kane, is he? But
can he
settle and be that
yes.
striker that you need?
Yes. I think he will. I do, and I know.
I'm not sure.
I know that you all say Sam's got his Spurs goggles on, but genuinely, and I said this till I was blue in the face on Friday night.
You're normally not wrong about Spurs, so
under Postecoglou, Richarlison will be the type of striker that he needs for that team to work successfully. We saw that even today. Yes, there was no attacking returns for Richarlison today, but he did the things that were needed for the team to function. The first half, it was chaos. We started off really well. Then there was the headbutt between Romero and Mbeumo, which resulted in the absolute nonsense, which was Romero being told you've got to come off as a concussion sub. Then they filled out the wrong form, so he got actually subbed rather than concussion subs. They can put
that
it back on
happen.
Again.
Come on.
That happened.
They filled out the wrong form.
Yeah. So they, rather than filling out the concussion sub form, they filled out the sub form.
Unreal.
So Postecoglou was like, we can't put you back on, which sent Romero raging on the bench because he wasn't allowed to go back on. Because they told him he was going to be a concussion sub, which is why he sort of agreed it. And then it wasn't a concussion sub. And the law says they can't change it. Anyway, that was bonkers. So that unsettled everything. And then there were a couple of moments where Madders got booked and where Bissouma put in a bad tackle. And then Brentford scored and it disrupted our flow. And for about 10 minutes, we were a bit all over the place. Came out in the second half, we controlled the ball, we pressed well, we were attacking well, we were making good opportunities. And Brentford did the same. Brentford were really good attack-wise as well. So I think both teams in attack, I mean, the interesting thing I was about to say, I don't think you necessarily want the Spurs defence, but the goals today came from Romero and Royale.
Yeah.
So we are going to get that from Spurs. I think Richarlison will be a good pick. I really do. At 7 million, he is going to play in the number 9. He's the out of position the way we want it.
Yeah.
I think the question you're going to have to ask yourself is, Richarlison's going to get goals, but Madders is going to assist like you can't believe.
Yeah. So I just feel like everything good about Spurs is going through Madders at the minute. And even off the pitch as well, with taking the number, with being on social media all the time. He's the guy that Sky wanted to interview after the game, if you notice as well. Mm. I just think all of the Kane love that was there could easily just be ploughed into Madders now. And he's central, he's where he wants to be, he's on set pieces, his route to points is unreal. He's got a little bit of goal threat as well. I like him, and I don't like Richarlison. He could be a really great 7.5 for us. He could be. Out of position striker for, you know, a top six club, an attacking top six club. Could be really good, but I just don't know. There was a lot of times when he needed to hold it up to take the pressure off of the defence today, and he just can't do it. Mm. He just can't do it. Now, if you get Spurs up against a team that are not quite as good and you have a lot of the ball, and maybe... So if you played like Villa, who play a really high line, I noticed today, great, because he can get in behind there and he's got skills and all the rest of it, right? But if you sit against a low block, I don't think he's good against low blocks. If you're playing a team where you need to... You know, you're under pressure because you're playing against another good side and the ball goes up to Richarlison. I don't see it sticking that often. He doesn't score tons of goals either, because we saw that last season. I don't know. I just don't know. And everything good about today was Madison. And Richarlison, I thought, had a bit of a laboured game. Now, given the benefit of the doubt, he's just coming back from injury. And if we see something over the next couple of weeks that makes me want to invest, then I might go there. But at the minute, I do not see me changing Madison to Richarlison and saving 0.5. I just don't see it.
No, I think the point I'm making, Madison, I think, is the standout pick from Spurs. If you want to invest in Spurs, Madison is the standout. If you've already invested in Richarlison, I would absolutely not be changing it, though. I would not be swapping it straight away.
Yeah.
Because there was enough from Richarlison today that says to me, once you're fully fit, and you've... Because he's only played half of pre-season. He's had some he had injuries last week, didn't make the game much against Shakhtar, only played a bit of the game against Barcelona on Tuesday. And has kind of not, I think, wouldn't have not necessarily been fully expecting to start this one. I think Spurs weren't really expecting Harry to go yet. I think they were expecting to play Kane against Brentford this weekend.
Right, okay.
So I suspect that what we'll see in the next couple of weeks is that development of the relationship between Madders and Richarlison. The relationship also between Kulusevski and Richarlison and Son and Richarlison, because they haven't played a lot of time together over the last year or so.
No.
With injury and everything else to all of them. I think the Spurs attack, as predicted, looks worthy of investment.
Mm. No, I think you're absolutely right. And just a shout out to Destiny Udogi as well at the back, a 4.5 option. Now, I'm not, and I don't think you are either, necessarily piling into the Spurs defence, but at 4.5, he will get some attacking return somewhere down the line, I think. And also, shout out to Matthew Knights. Thank you, Matthew Knights, for the super chat. Spurs need a keeper. Don't get into Europe with this guy. So what did you make
I couldn't disagree more.
Oh, okay. You thought he was all right, did you?
I could not disagree more. I think the difference...
Thought he was a bit shaky looking with his feet today.
No, I think he'll be fine. I think he needs to understand the Premier League. I think it's going to be one of those. I think you give him... He will make some mistakes because of the type of keeper that he is. He will be perfect for the way that we want to play. He's just got to learn when to take the risks and when not to take the risks in the Premier League. Otherwise, I think he'll be a really nice option. And I think as we get a bit better, he'll be okay.
Good. All right. Very good. Quick shout out to all of our Patreon supporters. So many of you will be... in tonight, we've got Wilco, and we've got Cy, and we've got well, loads of them, haven't we? Jason's Let's go around in, the chat. I think, Jason's isn't he? Here. We've got Dylan. We've got all sorts. Ken's, I think, has been a patron in the past as well. Yeah, loads of all of you guys. I think Paul's in as well. So look, listen, all of our patrons that are in and following us and that met us at Fantasy Football Fest on Friday, very nice to see you, and thank you for your continued support. And the patron family continues to grow. So patreon.com/FPL family. If you want to support Sam and I here on the channel, all the links are in the description below. Head over to the patron site after the live stream tonight. Three different tiers that you can get involved in, either the Ohana, the Manager of the Month, or the Zoom tier. The Ohana podcasts are up and running again for another season. We had one on Friday, which we put out on Friday morning before Fest. The Manager of the Month competitions are up and running again for another season. And of course, the Zoom calls are going as well, because we had a Zoom call with Liam on Friday, and you had a couple with a couple of the other patrons the week before. Simon was in, wasn't he? So listen, loads going on this year with Patreon over on patreon.com/FPL family. If you want a little bit more of me and Sam in your lives, then that is the place to go. Great community we've got over there, including the Slack community, which is always pinging on my phone every 5 minutes whenever the games are on, which is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And we also have to give a quick shout out to Fantasy Football Scout. So thank you to the folks at Fantasy Football Scout for putting on Fantasy Football Fest on Friday. And if you're not signed up to Fantasy Football Scout as yet, then what are you doing? You need to get over there, hit the link in the description below. We use all of the stats and all the members area stuff right here on the channel on a Sunday night. So a really, really invaluable, if I can say the word, source of information to set you up for success every single week in Fantasy Premier League. So fantasyfootballscout.co.uk to sign up over there. And if you want to use our FPL family affiliate link, then the link is on the screen right now, or it is in the description below. So fantasyfootballscout.co.uk, the home of fantasy football. Go and get yourself signed up over there. So there we go. Couple of promos, Sam. Let's get into our teams. Here is my team for this week. Pretty good.
Couldn't decide whether it's putting up or down.
Pretty good. Wow, it's no, it isn't up or down, is it really? It's just, it is what it is, right?
I guess it depends if you think that we all start tied a millionth.
Yes.
Or
yeah.
First.
There is, it's not a green or a red arrow. It's just it's what it is because it's game week one. And before we get stuck into this, thank you, Wilco, for the super chat. Love you both, he says. Love you, mate.
We love you, Wilco.
Foden and James Dole, he just says. Listen, Wilco, it's game week one, mate. Don't worry about it.
Wilco.
37 weeks, Wilco, to make amends on the Foden and James stuff. But 79 for me this week with a couple to play as well. So I've got Onana and Bruno still to play. Expecting a bit of pain potentially from Rashford.
Yeah.
Expecting a bit of pain potentially from Luke Shaw, but maybe Onana covers that. I don't know. But listen, apart from Gabriel, everybody returned. In fact, it was only Salah really that didn't return as much as I was hoping or expecting. Diaby obviously gets the goal in as the consolation, as it turned out, in the end against Newcastle, but happy to see that go in as a bit of a differential for me. João Pedro, we've been bigging up, got the penalty, so great. Madison with a couple of assists, really good. Saka chipping in, although not much of a differential. So, listen, a good start to the season, 79, an overall rank, for what it's worth, because it's an overall rank's kind of worthless at the moment, isn't it? But 121k. Happy with the start. Let's see how Onana and Bruno get on tomorrow, right?
Decided not to keep the $4 million in the bank then.
Didn't keep the $4 million in the bank, no. I spent it on Mo.
We didn't look at each other's teams, actually, because we weren't together on Friday, because I did Sky and the Q&A with Az, and then I pretty much immediately left the house to go to Fest and help guys set up there. So I actually didn't, and even then when we got to Fest, I was on the door, you were chatting. We didn't really see each other until post-deadline.
Correct.
And I said to you, who have you got in your team? And you were like, oh, this, that, and the other. And I was like, interesting.
Yeah.
We ended up with very similar teams.
We'll talk about your team in a second. But yeah, I think it's, I mean, Rashford, for sure, against Wolves at home. Yeah, listen, it's I'm expecting a bit of pain there. But the decision that I was making quite late on into Friday was, do I go with Bruno and Madison, or do I spend the 0.5 the other way and go for Richarlison and Rashford? And right now, going with the Spurs pick of Madison over Richarlison has worked.
Yeah.
Let's see whether picking Bruno over Rashford works. I don't know. I can see Rashford getting something right.
I've got a horrible feeling for Wolves tomorrow night. I really worry for them and their Premier League survival.
What, in terms of getting battered?
Yeah.
Yeah, could do, couldn't they? There's dire straits,
isn't it, off
the pitch.
I've just got no players. It's awful.
Dire straits off the pitch. But no, 79. So listen, happy bunny. Very happy with that. But you are on 83, and the only difference, Sam, from FPL Family in our teams is that you had Saliba and I had Gabriel. That is the only... we've got the same team. And as you said, we didn't know this, right? So we sat here last Sunday and I was talking about 4 different. Million in the bank and we were quite different. And of course, we had one or two conversations throughout the week, but we definitely, definitely did not sit down and go, this is my team, what's your team? We didn't do that.
Because,
but we've ended up more or less the same.
And on Friday morning, my team looked quite different to this because I obviously still had Kane in there, had Kane instead of Salah. And then I was kind of like, oh, what do I do about Kane? And then obviously the news broke quite early on the morning that he was going to be going to Germany for a medical. And I was like, right, okay, fine. That means I need to deal with that.
Yeah.
So I went on Sky with one team that I'd very, very quickly kind of gone, ugh, move some budget around. And so literally what I did was moved Kane out for Alvarez, moved Diaby out for Salah, and then put that on Sky. And then I sat on the train to go to Fest, and I was chatting with Kelly and Jules, actually, and I was like, I cannot go into game one without Diaby because he's the player I feel quite
strongly about.
I feel quite strongly about. I'm really backing him to have a good season, and I know I'm going to instantly regret that decision if I don't do it.
Yes.
And I felt the same about Madders. I've been talking about him all pre-season since he arrived. I felt moving to Richarlison the bigger regret would be not having gone with Maddison. So I decided I would stick with those two, and therefore I lost Alvarez, which meant I lost an assist, but is what it is.
Yeah.
The only other thing that I very, very nearly did on Friday was sell Onana for Leno to allow me to upgrade Bruno to Rashford.
Blimey, okay. Leno would have been good.
Because I've been talking about Leno a lot.
Yeah.
And I really did fancy him, and then he got a 12-point haul, and that stung. Because I was like, ow, that hurts. And then I would have had Rashford over Bruno. But as it is, I honestly have never had a good game week one, ever.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was reluctant to even put the overall ranks on there, because it's game week one, and it means nothing. And to be honest, overall rank doesn't mean anything for at least 5 or 6 weeks as a reality, if not longer. But 46k, I felt like, you got to put it up there. That's a bit stop the count, isn't it? I mean, that's a really great start to the season.
It's a good
start,
happy days. Yeah. And obviously, like you say, with two players still to go, so I'm expecting some pain from Rashford. I go into it knowing that he can hurt me because he's highly owned and I don't have him. But I'm hoping that Luke Shaw won't hurt too much because Onana's in there to cover out any clean sheet that might come. Which is the one reason, actually, that I didn't do the Leno swap in the end, because I was like, if people have got Luke Shaw, if I don't have Luke Shaw or Onana, what am I even doing with my life?
Yeah.
So I decided I'd stick with where I was. But I must admit, to start the season with a game week one, decent rank, and to look at my team and think, well, there's not a lot I want to change in there ahead of game week, because normally I'm sitting here at the end of game week one going, I've had a shocker. Now I need to think about game week two.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily feel there's a lot of change that needs to be made there.
I was going to say, so in terms of you thinking for game week two then, is it a role?
Yeah.
Role transfer, yeah. I mean, certainly that was part of the reason I wanted to spend the Salah money in the end, because I thought, well, I'm going to want him, I think, ahead of Bournemouth.
Yeah.
And Liverpool are so bad defensively that we've got to score goals and he'd be involved.
Plus,
and
I guess for you, the £4 million in the bank, once Kane left the game, it's kind of like,
there's
right,
only one
well,
place you're, gonna spend
you're only
it,
really
right?
going to spend it on Salah, because you're not really probably going to Trent.
Correct.
Because we don't think Liverpool keep a clean sheet. So if the only place you're going to spend it is on Salah.
The only thing I will say is that if I went with what I was going with last Sunday, which was to have the £4 million in the bank, it would have been Martinelli rather than Salah in this draft. And now I think they scored more or less the same, because Martinelli just got an assist as well. Might have got bonus, I can't remember. But that would be a tough
transfer
now.
Yeah.
Like if I was sitting here with £4 million in the bank and thinking, well, my booked in transfer was Martinelli to Mo, I find that quite hard now. In fact, I'd struggle to take out any of those for Mo now.
Exactly. So looking at that midfield five, this is part of my issue, because I would really like to bring Martinelli in a lot.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because genuinely, unless Bruno Fernandes gets injured tomorrow night.
But then I'll tell you what I'd have done. I'd have done something stupid. Like I'd be looking to spend that £4 million on Nunes. Because I do think Nunes will play against Bournemouth, and I do think he'll do well because of the system and the way we're going to set up. But then you're setting yourself up for a problem, because then we've got Newcastle after that, and I don't think he's going to start against Newcastle.
No.
So probably wouldn't have done that either. So here I am sitting with potentially 4 million in my pocket going, what am I going to do with it? Yeah. So I don't regret spending the 4 on Salah before the season started. But like you, I'm enviously looking over at the Martinelli owners going, he looked lively as hell, didn't
he? But what
I
will say is that the Martinelli owners probably are looking over at maybe Maddison or...
Well, quite.
Or somebody along those lines going, I'd really like to have
him. Derby, maybe.
And I think that is going to be a common theme of this season, is that we're just going to have to accept that particularly where the midfielders are concerned...
Can't have them.
You've got 5 slots and there's probably 8 of them that you really want. So you're going to have 3 every week that you can't have.
Well, there we go. But anyway, a good start to the season. Let's see what Rashford does to us. He could absolutely kill us, couldn't he, tomorrow? But either way, we're sitting here on a Sunday night in both in the top 150k, and that ain't a bad game week one. And it's not that overall rank matters a jot after game week one, but still, we are going to talk about it because we've both done all right and we've both got the same bloody team. Sam, the one thing that I have neglected to do, you'll be surprised to hear on the technology front, given that we've got all these fancy new graphics tonight, guys,
let
us know.
Thank you to George.
Thank you to George Gray, who did our graphics for us. Much appreciated,
mate.
There's
more coming
as well.
They look
absolutely brilliant. There is more coming. We've got our updated logo. You guys will have seen
some new headers coming.
That we've got new headers coming for Twitter and YouTube. We had a new intro video. We've got some of the nice kind of like green contour graphics in the background. So we'd love to know what you guys think of the new graphics. Get in the comments below. Get in the YouTube comments. Or if you're here tonight with us on Sunday night, get in the live comments and let us know what you think about the new graphics. Personally, I love them. I'm really pleased with what George has done. I think
good.
They look great.
Because you kind of left the graphic chat with me and George, and I was kind of like, I'm never normally in charge of this stuff. So when I came back and was like, well, I've done all of this stuff, I hope you really like it. But the new, and we've got some new Patreon graphics coming as well. Like, well, ones we showed earlier, I've got new updated ones of them, and they all look fabulous. And we've obviously got new thumbnails. So massive, massive thank you to George, because he has dealt with me being quite difficult because I wanted pictures of us for the logo in our kits for this season.
Nice, yeah.
We didn't have a picture of us in our kits together.
Did we not?
No.
No.
We don't have one.
Well, I've got my other team there, Liverpool.
So I made you stand the other weekend and take a picture of that one. And I sent George some pictures of me and they were at different angles. It didn't work. So bless George. That picture of me, I wasn't wearing a Spurs shirt in that picture.
That's actually not, that is not a picture of us. That is Photoshop.
They're two
separate
pictures. Yeah. The picture of me, I wasn't even wearing a Spurs shirt. So George has done a remarkable job. He took the Spurs shirt from another photo, added it to this one.
Incredible
I'm loving it.
Incredible stuff. But the thing that I have forgotten to do
is what?
Is make a page that says coming up. You know, I have the coming up with all the stuff that's coming up. So I will get on that. That's why I'm here back on the main page. But tell us, Sam, verbally, what's coming up this week?
So it's actually a really busy week for me again this week. So on Tuesday morning, I will be on the first of this season's Off the Bench podcast for the Premier League with my good friend, FPL Sinaldo, who I absolutely
love it. Could be a good
pod.
Be a good pod.
So Sinaldo and I, this season, will be off the benching together every time that we're on.
Interesting to get Sinaldo's thoughts on Son and Maddison, the captaincy, all that sort of stuff.
Having
be keen
a nice
to hear
chat
about
with
that.
Sinaldo on Tuesday. So we'll be recording that for the Premier League on Tuesday morning. So that'll be out Tuesday afternoon. I'll also, of course, be on the main pod again this week with Jules and with Kelly. Now that France are out of the Women's World Cup, Jules will be flying back into the UK. As I leave the UK, because we are off on a little bit of a holiday at the back end of this week.
We are, actually, yes. We won't be live streaming next week, guys. There won't be a live stream next week because we are going on holiday with the children. And, they deserve a bit of time off and they deserve our attention rather than us live streaming and FPLing all the time. So we are going to put you guys down for just a week and then we're going to be back the week after.
We will be. So I'll have the pods... They do have to put up with me recording the official pod from our holiday, but after
we're not completely. I am completely putting work down, but you won't be.
I'll be doing the official pod, and then I'll be putting work down. We'll still put out on Ohana for the patrons, and we'll record one of those before we go away for you. So busy week for me, and then we're going to have a couple of days off and recharge our batteries whilst game week 2 is in play, and then we'll be back for game week 3.
Very good. All right, well, there
and
we
actually,
go, guys.
And actually, while we're at it, while I'm talking, because we won't have a live stream next week, so the Friday ahead of game week 3, you'll be able to catch me on the FPL show, and you'll be able to catch Lee.
Oh, FPL show is back.
It's actually not called that. It's called the Fantasy Show.
Oh, is it? So I missed that memo. The Fantasy Show.
Yeah, so for game week 2, you'll be able to catch my good friend Az on the Fantasy Show on Friday this week, but Friday next week... It will be me and Lee will be on Sky. So you can choose which one of us you watch, because Lee will be live on Sky.
Well, at the same time.
My suggestion would be, well, if you're in the UK, watch Lee live on Sky, and within about half an hour, you'll be able to watch the fantasy show on the app.
Nice. Well, there we go, guys. Lots, as usual, going on. Even though we're on holiday, the work does not, the podcasts do not stop. For Sam, at least. So this time, in a couple of weeks, we will be back. 8:30 Sunday night, in a couple of weeks from now, looking back at game week three. Game week three. Good luck to all the Rashford owners tomorrow. Good luck to anybody.
Not too much luck.
Not too much luck. Yeah,
a little
luck.
Bit of luck.
Good luck to all the Wolves owners, if you've got...
No, but Wolves owners?
No.
Right, I've just...
Literally no one in the chat getting Wolves. But that's it for another FPL Family. Guys, leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button if you're new. And I can see the sub counter going up as we speak.
Yay!
Sam. We went through the 25,000 sub mark a couple of days ago. So thank you to all of the new subs we've had in the last week or so. It's really had a nice little spike in the lead up to game week one. So guys, if you're new to FPL Family, if you've just discovered the channel, thank you. We love having you along. Hit that subscribe button so that the little counter there in the bottom left-hand corner keeps us ticking over. So, guys, good luck to the Rashford owners. Good luck in game week 2 and 3. And we'll see you a fortnight from now for the next FPL Family. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.